Okay.
So in Braj, especially in Govardhan, it's a very special day because Sanatan Goswami is the acharya, basically, of Braj or of Govardhan area. And the impersonalists, they celebrate this day as a special day for their guru. In other words, because they think guru is one, we're all one. We're all the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all the same person. And so, therefore, they, instead of celebrating on the individual appearance days of their gurus, they take this as a special day to worship their gurus, as like the Vyasa Puja day. But Prabhupada criticized this. He said, this is impersonalism. To consider this as a day when you worship your guru is impersonalism, Prabhupada said. So that's an interesting thing, because the guru has an individual appearance day. So Prabhupada said to merge it all or amalgamate it all to one day is not our tradition. Although in India that's what they do. And already I've gotten several different notices, happy Vyasa Puja Day.
Because it's for Vyasa Day.
Yeah, it's for Vyasa Day. But because it's called Guru Purnima, yeah. Then in India they think every guru, it's their Vyasa Puja Day. So that's Prabhupada said impersonalism. It's Vyasa Day's appearance day and Sanatan Goswami's disappearance day. So today, this morning at least, we're going to speak about Sanatan Goswami. And maybe tonight, or whenever we'll speak about Srila Vyasadeva's appearance, maybe tonight, during our program tonight. So before class, we're going to chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas in honor of Sanatan Goswami. Actually, it's the most crowded day at Govardhan today. This is a day that there's more people at Govardhan than any other day of the year, Guru Purnima. Anila Premachana Kona Prachu. Goranga Guner Jai Jai Prabhu. Sapa sangi rasangi ye koi lo vi la se sangana paya kande arutamoda. Hello, Prema Udana, Kuna Raju. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Paravidacharya, all stotera said to Shimad. His divine grace of Aya. Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Iskan Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnavrin Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai. Brahm Se Kaho Shukrishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Garai Ha Sivasan Gaur Gatka Vrindikajaya Shishi Radhakrishna Govardhaka Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturidam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shivani Lassi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikajaya Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Shidivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, and where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga the great dancer suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So today we are commemorating the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami, the appearance day of Srila Vyasadeva, and Guru Purnima or Vyas Purnima, which is the appearance day of Srila Vyasadeva, not anybody else's guru, unless they happen to appear on this particular day. So, Om Gana Timadanda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshuram Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigaravena Maha. So, first we'll start speaking about Sanatana Goswami. Of course, Sanatana Goswami was appearing in this world in the year 1488. And he was 5 years older than Srila Rupa Goswami, and he had his brother also, whose name was Sri Balava, who was later known as Anupama. Anupama, he was given that name by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the three of them were great devotees. Of course, they're all Nitya Siddha devotees. Anupama was a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra, and the story goes that Sanatana and Rupa Goswami tried to convince him just to worship Krishna and not to put so much focus on Lord Ramchandra, but he couldn't change his mind. Therefore, he was loyal to Lord Ramchandra, and he was praised for that loyalty. So during their childhood, these three great, pure Nichiren devotees were absorbed in playing about Krishna's pastimes. It's described that they name the various areas around where they live, the various forests, with names of the forests of Vrindavan, like the Talavan forest, Madhuvan forest, Kamyavan forest. And their favorite places were places they called Radhakund and Shyamakund. So, and their teacher in rhetoric and in grammar was someone named Vidya Bhushanapada, and they were taught philosophy by Vidya Chava Chaspati, who is the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So you see, everybody's pretty much connected in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So during Sanatana's youth, he was resting one time, and he had a dream. And in that dream, a very young Brahmin boy gave him a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so when he woke up, he was looking for that Brahmin boy and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he couldn't find the Brahmin boy and the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he began to do his morning puja, because being in a Brahmin family, they were a Saraswata Brahmanas, very high-class Brahmin family, at least according to the system at that particular time. He was doing his morning puja. I mean, this is part of a Brahmin's activities during the sanjas, the three times of the day. That is when the sun is rising, when the sun is setting, when the sun is overhead, completely overhead. The Brahmins do their sanja activities. That means different activities like saying the Gayatri Mantra, different prayers. So he was doing his puja at that particular time, and lo and behold, a beautiful Brahmin boy, and some people say that it was Krishna, gave him a Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Srimad Bhagavatam became Sanatana Goswami's life and soul. So Sanatana Goswami glorified this particular instance in one of his literatures called the Krishna Lila Stava. And this is the quote from the Krishna Lila Stava. O holy Bhagwat, you are my only company, my only friend, and my guru. You are my greatest treasure and my personal savior. You are the emblem of my highest fortune and the very form of ecstasy. I offer my obeisances unto you. It's interesting. One time there were some sannyasis who were traveling, and they asked Prabhupada, can we have deities so that we can travel with our deities? And Prabhupada said, no need, because you were traveling with the Bhagavatam, and you can offer arti. Those are your deities. So, after some time, Sanatana Goswami's grandfather, paternal grandfather, passed away, and his paternal grandfather was working for the Nawab Hussein Shah, and he had the post of Sakara Malik. Actually, that was the name of the post, even though Sanatana Goswami was called Sakara Malik, but the actual name was the name of the post. Now, that means he was like the advisor, prime minister, to Nawab Hussein Shah, who was the ruler of Gaudadesh at this particular time. And Rupa Goswami also became a minister of this particular individual, and they lived at Ramakeli, which is the capital of Gaudadesh. So one may question, why did these two great devotees take service, or take up the service of this Muslim who is not exactly Krishna conscious, not exactly pious? In fact, it's described that he was going around and torturing people as he was conquering different kingdoms. The reason they took up his service, or took up serving him, was that he basically threatened the Vaishnavas in this area of Bengal that unless Sanatana and Rupa would serve him, then he would just like torture them and kill them, burn them down. And of course, the Muslim rulers, especially those who were cruel, not all of them, of course, were renowned for doing things like this. So it was quite believable. So they took up the service, and they became actually quite wealthy serving the Muslim Nawab Hussein Shah. And it's described in their biography that they built a palace and mansions for themselves. Now, mansions, of course, means many different rooms, and you know what palace means. And so they made their palace and their homes like replicas of Vrindavan. And they planted all sorts of auspicious trees there, like Tulsi trees, Kadamba trees, Tamal trees. Tamal trees represents Krishna. Kadamba represents Srimati Radharani. And they spend most of their time discoursing on the Shastra and about Krishna consciousness. So while they were there, they heard about this interesting personality named Nimai Pandit. And they really wanted to have his darshan, but they were thinking, you know, we're not allowed to leave here because we're in the employ of this Nawab Hussein Shah. So they were lamenting like this. And then they heard that Nimai Pandit had taken sannyas and became Chaitanya. And they thought, we'll never be able to see him. But then they heard a voice, and the voice announced that he will soon be visiting Ramakeli. So after 5 years, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to Bengal to see his mother and the Ganga, he visited Dvaitacharya, and after he went to Shantipur, he proceeded to Ramakeli. So Rupa, Sanatan, and Anupa met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also Jiva Goswami, who was the son of, he wasn't Goswami then, but he's Jiva, who was the son of Anupama, met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramakeli. And it's described that when they first saw him, they put a straw between their teeth, which is a sign of great humility, and offered dandavats, and said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that people say that we're educated, we know so much Shastra, we're sophisticated, but we don't know the purpose of life. Of course, they did know the purpose of life, obviously, because they had been studying the Bhagavatam. Natevadu Swadvigatim I Vishnu. The purpose of life, of course, is to understand God, to understand what your destination is in your future life or future lives. And so they understood this, but that is the proper mood to approach the Guru or the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a straw in your teeth. Now sometimes people approach the Guru or spiritual personality very proud, showing off their erudition. And in this way, they don't get Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, and they became inconsolable, in other words, just like very morose, feeling the separation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and developed such a mood of separation, they decided to leave their positions in the employment of Nawab Hussein Shah. Now, Rupa Goswami was able to leave without much difficulty. It was described when he left the employment of Nawab Hussein Shah, he left with boatloads of gold coins. And he divided it up in the proper Vaishnava way. A certain portion he gave to his relatives. A certain portion he saved for emergency. A certain portion he gave to the Vaishnavas and Brahmins. And actually this money that he saved for emergency came, was very useful later on in helping Sanatana Goswami escape. So it's described that he kept it with a grocer. So, of course, the grocers must be, have been the bankers in those particular days. So, anyway, so Sanatan, he wanted to leave too. So, he was just so disgusted with his service to the Nawab Hussein Shah that he basically stayed at home and feigned that he was sick. That means he made believe he was sick. And instead, he was studying the Bhagavatam in his house, and he was really happy doing that. And one day, the king sent his physician to check up on Sanatan. And so the physician said to the king, you know, he's not sick. He's pretending. So the king went there, and the king said, well, get back to work, basically. And I'm depending on you. I'm going to conquer different directions. I think he was going to Orissa at that particular point. And Sanatana Goswami said, you're going to give pain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he actually insulted. He insulted the Nawab for the purpose of having the Nawab just kick him out of his service. You know, this was his strategy. Everything he did was intelligence, and he was very intelligent and very strategic. But instead, the Nawab put Sanatana Goswami in jail. And Sanatana Goswami did what most people do in India when they're in trouble with the law. He went to the jailer and he said to the jailer, basically, several different things. One thing he said, you know, do you understand as a Muslim, when you liberate someone, you get special mercy? And of course, he was sort of like tricking the Muslim jailer into thinking, possibly, that if he liberated Sanatana Goswami, he gets special mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But ultimately, Sanatana Goswami had to bribe him. And he said to the Muslim jailer, that just tell the Nawab that Sanatana went to the bank of the Ganges to, you know, relieve himself, you know, past due or something like that. And then he jumped in. Of course, obviously, Sanatana Goswami more or less likely had chains and everything on him. So, in other words, he would drown in the Ganges. So Sanatana escaped, and he escaped with his servant, and his servant Ishan. I guess that was like a generic name for a servant, because you hear a lot of servants by the name Ishan, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Satyamata's servant, and Vishnupriya's servant was named Ishan Thakur. So anyway, Sanatana Goswami's servant was also named Ishan, and Ishan secretly kept 8 gold coins in case of emergency. But Sanatana Goswami didn't know about those 8 gold coins. So as they were trying to proceed to escape, there were some mountain ranges they had to cross, and then there was a hotel there. And of course, in India, the hotels at that particular time didn't mean like a Ramada Inn or something like that. And the hotel keeper in that hotel, whom Sanatana Goswami was going to ask for help to cross the mountains, had an expert astrologer. And this expert astrologer was able to ascertain that Sanatana and Ishan, his servant, had 8 gold coins. No matter whether he was able to figure out exactly how many gold coins he had. And so the hotel keeper, he was very hospitable to Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami, knowing a lot about politics, knew that too much devotion, as Chanaka Pandit says, is the sign of a thief. Like if someone comes to you and is very devotional and says, oh, I love you, you're wonderful, you're fantastic. You say, oh my God, what's your wallet? At that particular point. Actually, salesmen in New York do that all the time. And car salesmen do that all the time. They just say, oh, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, it's so good to see you. How is the family, etc. So, Sanatana Goswami could ascertain that there's something going on. The hotel keeper knows something that I don't know. So he asked his servant, Ishan, do you have any money? Do you have any gold coins? And Ishan lied to Sanatana Goswami. He said, I have 7 gold coins. Whereas, in fact, he had 8 gold coins. So Sanatana Goswami said to this hotel keeper, okay, I have these gold coins. Please take them. I'm giving them to you as payment to get me out of this place. And the hotel keeper admitted to him, yes, I knew you had these gold coins and I was getting ready to kill you for them and take them. So you have freed me from the possible sin that I, or the sin I would have committed by killing a Brahmin. And Sanatana Goswami said to his servant, just get out of here, you know, go back home, take whatever gold coin you have. And so this way, Sanatana Goswami crossed over the mountains and met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi. And it's described that by the time he got there, at the house of Chandrasekhar, he had grown a long beard, because it would have been some period of time crossing through the mountains. And also, he wanted to be in disguise, and he was carrying a water pot. So more or less, he looked like a Muslim mendicant. And actually, on the way to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had run into his brother-in-law, Srikant. And Srikant had given him this very, very nice shawl, like a chadar, like a silk chadar. Beautiful, beautiful chadar. So anyway, so he knocked on the door. Sanatan Goswami knocked on the door of Chandrasekhar. And Chandrasekhar answered the door. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said, "There's a great devotee at the door. Go answer the door." And so Chandrasekhar went to the door, and he just saw what he thought was a Muslim mendicant. He said, "There's only a Muslim mendicant at the door." And Lord Chaitanya said, "No." He went to the door, saw Sanatan Goswami, and embraced Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami said, "Don't touch me, I'm very impure." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I am touching you." This is a quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majalila. "I am touching you just to purify myself, because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the entire universe. Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage because of their purity." This is also a quote from the Bhagavatam too. "They are constant companions of the Lord and therefore can purify even the places of pilgrimage." So in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu receives Sanatana Goswami. And as Sanatana Goswami was interacting with Lord Chaitanya over the next few days, Lord Chaitanya kept looking at his chadar. And of course, if someone looks at my chadar, I think maybe they want it. Like there's stories actually of devotees looking at Prabhupada's watch. And then, actually, there's even a story of Shutakirti looking at Prabhupada's chadar and actually wanting to exchange chadar so he would get Prabhupada. So he brought in a chadar for Prabhupada, and eventually Prabhupada understood and then made some joke about it and gave him his old chadar. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya kept looking at Sanatana Goswami's chadar, and Sanatana Goswami knew that this was not appropriate to have a nice chadar for those who were in the renounced order of life. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described it. He said, you know, if someone has getting rid of, basically I'm paraphrasing, getting rid of leprosy, you shouldn't let even one spot, white spot of leprosy, remain. So those who are actually taking up the renounced order of life, particularly the type of renounced order that Sanatana Goswami had taken up, which is the Babaji order, it's a little bit different than the order, the Paravajakacharya order, which Srila Prabhupada gave. Basically, Sanatana Goswami was given the Paramahansa order of sannyas. So in that particular order, there's no question of any sort of amenities other than the very, very bare minimum. So Sanatana Goswami gave up that chadar. He went to the bank of the Ganges, and he saw a Muslim person there, you know, like a mendicant or whatever, and he's with a patchwork quilt chadar. Patchwork means it was just torn in different places, so he just had to sew up, you know, the different tears or put different pieces together, and he exchanged it, and of course that Muslim thought he was just joking, but eventually he gave in, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see that Sanatana Goswami had gotten rid of his nice chadar. That doesn't mean that whatever nice thing we have, we should get rid of it, just walk around like mendicants, because we have a preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sanatana Goswami's preaching mission would not be impeded by his walking around like that. In fact, that people would respect that more at that time in India. Now it's a different time in India, different time in the United States. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then gave Sanatana Goswami instructions for many days about Krishna consciousness, Sambandha, Videya, Parayojana. And he gave Sanatana Goswami, his mission was to write books on Krishna Bhakti and join Rupa Goswami and Anupama in Vrindavan. Of course, Anupama passed away before Rupa Goswami reached Vrindavan. So, and also to establish the Leela Stanas, that means the holy places in Vrindavan, And here were his missions, actually there's four of them: to uncover the sites of Krishna's pastimes, to install deities and arrange for their puja, to complete the bhakti scriptures of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and to propagate the rules of devotional life. But of course, Sanatana Goswami was renowned for establishing the Madan Mohan Temple. And there's interesting stories about the deities in the Madan Mohan Temple, that is, Radha Madan Mohan, and the temple itself. So there were deities of Madan Gopal that were given to a family in Mathura, the Chobe, that's a type of Brahmin family, in Mathura. And these deities were given by a Dvaitacharya who discovered the deities. And this family didn't really understand all the rules and regulations, such as those in the Archanapadati for worshipping the deities. They treated Madan Gopal like their son. So it's described that their son, who is, you know, a regular human being, was playing like marbles with Madan Gopal. They would sit Madan Gopal down at the dinner table and he would eat with them. You know, just like a really intimate situation. So one day, Sanatana Goswami went there and he saw how they were dealing with the deity, and he said, this is not appropriate. You've got to put the deity on the altar. You've got to do this puja, that puja. And he went back, and Sanatana Goswami had a dream that night, and the deity said to him, why did you spoil my fun? In other words, now I got to sit on the altar all the time. Previously I got to, you know, play with the boys, you know, be part of the family, and now, you know, what is this? You know, being on an altar all the time. So he didn't like it very much. So eventually that deity came to him, but he came to him in a very interesting way, because one day Krishna in, you know, movable form was playing near where Sanatana Goswami was, which is on the Dwadasadicha Tila. Dwadasadicha means the 12 sun hill. Tila means hill. And this is where Krishna rested after he kicked on the heads of the Kaliya serpent, because Krishna was actually very, very cold, freezing, you know, shivering. Of course, the spiritual body doesn't get cold, but it's a pastime. So he was shivering, and he went on top of this hill, and the sun shone forth with 12 times the normal heat or brilliance. And so it's called Dwadasadicha Tila. So Tila. So Sanatana Goswami was on top of this hill, and a coward boy came to him and said, a little cute little coward boy, you know, who was actually Krishna, said, Swamiji, I want to live with you. And Sanatana Goswami said, no, kid, you know, you can't, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm a sadhu. I'm not going to supposed to have kids, you know, here. And this is the whole conversation. He said, Lala, replied Sanatana, why do you want to go with me? I want to stay where you live. If you stay with me, what will you eat? Baba, whatever you eat. But I only eat some dried chapatis and chickpeas. Then that is what I will eat. No, that won't be enough for you. Stay with your mother and father. No, Baba, not. I want to stay with you. So he sent the boy home. But that night, the boy said to him, Baba, tomorrow I'm coming to stay with you. My name is Madan Gopal. And, you know, it was Krishna himself. And then next morning he woke up and he found the deity right outside his ashram. And he thought, you know, I can't take it. And of course that deity was left by the Chobe family, the Brahmin and the Chobe family, who was told by Madan Gopal, you give the deity to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami was always saying, you know, I can't take care of deities, I have too much to do. And finally he said, Krishna, if you want to stay here, you're just going to have to, I have too many responsibilities, you're just going to have to eat whatever I eat. And so then there's the famous story that he hung the deity from the tree, at least during the day, you know, because he didn't have an altar. So he had some sort of pouch, he hung the deity from the tree. And he was just giving the deity some dried bread balls. It was described that he would cook the chapatis or bread in the sun. And so there were dried bread balls and, you know, chickpeas, dried chickpeas or something that he would soak. And the deity started to complain, and the deity said to Sanatana Goswami, don't you have any salt? And Sanatana Goswami said, you know, I'm too busy. If you want salt, you got to get it for yourself. So later on, the famous story is that there was a salt barge that was stuck on a barrier in the Jamuna River. And the captain of the ship, and sometimes some people say it was the owner or the captain or whatever, came up to Sanatana Goswami, who was seated on this hill that was overlooking the Jamuna River, where the sandbar was, and said, Swamiji, help me. And Sanatana Goswami said, I can't do anything, go pray to Madan Gopal. So this captain or owner went to Madan Gopal and prayed to him, and all of a sudden there was that tremendous downpour. And the water rose in the Jamuna River, and the captain was able to drive the boat and go to Mathura, which is where he was going, and settle the load of salt. And because Madan Gopal saved this whole shipment, he utilized the money from the sale to build the temple of the Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan temple. And so Madan Mohan arranged for his own temple. Sanatana Goswami didn't even have to go out to collect donations, which is very interesting. So, other stories is that Sanatana Goswami would circumambulate the circumference of Govardhan Hill every day. And as he got, and also he had a vow to offer 1,008 obeisances to Govardhan Hill and any Vaishnava he met. Wow. So Krishna could understand this was not easy for Sanatana when he was 65. Wow. And I'm actually older than that. And so he came to Sanatana Goswami, dressed as a coward boy one day, and says, Baba, you have now become old. I think it's not necessary for you to circumambulate Govardhan Hill anymore. And Sanatana Goswami said, no, Lala, this is my regular vow, my worship. And the coward boy said, you can renounce this vow in your old age. No, one should never renounce his vows. Baba, I have a very good idea if you will accept it. If it is acceptable, surely I will accept it. Then Krishna presented him with a stone from Govardhan Hill with the imprint of his foot on it and a calf's foot and impressions of his stick and flute on it. And he told him, you just circumambulate this every day. It's the same as circumambulating Govardhan Hill. The coward boy disappeared, and Sanatana Goswami understood that that coward boy was Krishna. So every day he would circumambulate this. And also he would continue journeying throughout Braj with Srila Rupa Goswami, and he was considered by the Brajavasis to be like their father. They had this relationship, like Vasalya. They considered him just like their father, and he would give them advice in all sorts of subject matters. Not only advice on Krishna consciousness, but he was very concerned with their family. They loved him so much that they consider to this day his disappearance day to be the most important day of the year, at least in the Govardhan area, which is the primary area he resided. In fact, he resided right in the center of the Manasaganga area. Not in the Manasaganga itself, but in the Manasaganga area, there's this Bhajan Kutir, right next to the temple of Lord Shiva. And as he was doing, this was his primary residence, as he was doing his bhajan there, there were mosquitoes bothering him. So he was thinking, you know, how can I do my bhajan? How can I write my literatures? And he said, I gotta go somewhere else. Then Lord Shiva came to him and said, look, if you stay here, I'll get rid of the mosquitoes. And, okay, so he stayed there, and there were no mosquitoes, at least at that time. And this is the main area. This is right near the area where the chakra rotated on top of Govardhan Hill to prevent Govardhan Hill from getting inundated when Indra was trying to kill the residents of Vrindavan. So it's a very, very special area, this particular location. So he remained in Braj for 43 years, and he disappeared on the full moon, that's today, in the month of Asar in the year 1558. So it's described that the inhabitants were so distraught experiencing his separation that they decided to celebrate this day every year as their very special day. So, of course, Sanatana Goswami was also renowned for the literatures which he worked on, particularly the foundational literature of all the Goswamis was the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which has been translated by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu and it's available as a BBT book. And this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, dealing with two stories actually, stories of Gopakumar trying to understand his ultimate position, and also Narada Muni looking for the best devotee, the Supreme Personality of God. It brings forth all the different aspects of the Gaudiya philosophy, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, in a very nice story form. So that is the foundational book, and of course, he also worked on the Hari Bhakti Vilas and other literatures. So, Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai. All glories to Sanatana Goswami, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.